Classic Collections brings you the Fashion Connection on 900 AM The Talk of the Palm Beaches. Visit classiccollectionsofpalmbeach.com to find out more about Palm Beach's premier luxury designer and fashion resale boutique. Pretty woman.
Hey, it's Dia from our sister station 95.9 The Palm, and this is the Fashion Connection brought to you by Palm Beach's premier designer and fashion consignment boutique, Classic Collections. One-of-a-kind pieces, trending fashions, incredible vintage pieces, you can find it all at Classic Collections. Known for their unbelievable selection of luxury merchandise by the most exclusive designers. And if you're here listening to the show today, maybe you're looking to learn more about fashion, how to be a savvy shopper, or how to consign a few treasures you have hanging in your closet right now, this is the perfect show for you. With me every week, my co-host, owner of Classic Collections and fashion expert, Sally Kimball. Hey, Sally.
Hey, Dia. How you doing?
Great. Excited. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the most important accessories to tie your outfit together. No matter where you're off to, the handbag is vital.
The handbag rules.
So, and one of the things you've mentioned in other shows, and it's so true, you were like, you know, if you're going to the beach, change your watch, change your handbag, change your sunglasses. There's just an appropriate piece for everywhere that you're going.
Exactly. And a handbag is one of the first things people look at when they meet you. They look at your eyes, they look at your handbag, they look at your watch, and they look at your shoes.
I have totally memorized that list because Sally really does live by it. Your eyes, your watch, your shoes, and your bag. And one of the things she said too, clean shoes. So important.
Always.
Because it says so much about a person.
It says so much. You think you look great all the way down to those shoes, and if your tootsies are in ugly, beat-up shoes.
I've thrown away a lot of my shoes after hearing that.
I am so glad.
Yeah. I was like, they're comfortable, but she's right. They just don't look great. And it ruins the outfit because
it
I spent so much time. You do your hair, you do
it
your
does.
Makeup. You want it all to look good.
Exactly.
So one of my favorite shows that we did together was when we talked about jewelry because you really gave us the history. And by throwing us so far back, it just, you know, it gives you so much foundation for why we have the pieces that we have, how they've grown, how they've changed. And now that we're doing this episode on handbags, it's exciting too because there's a reason that this beautiful bag is sitting next to us right now. It didn't just appear one day and become a fashion accessory icon.
Exactly. It'll give you some perspective to how this industry has grown since the beginning.
So today I know that we're going to be focusing on a couple pieces in particular. We're going to be talking about the Triple Crown of bags. We're going to be talking about our Maze bags, maybe even throw in some Louis. So get started with us. How did this come to be? How did these pieces become so important in our daily wardrobe?
Okay, thank you, Dia. Well, the bottom line is that the handbags, there's so much to tell you all about. I can't do it in one show. So this is basically going to be a two-part show. Next week, we'll talk about Chanel and evening bags, clutches, that type of thing. But today, in the first section, I'm going to discuss the history of handbags, and then we'll get into investment handbags. And the first one we'll talk about in section two is Hermes. And in section three, we'll discuss Louis Vuitton.
Perfect.
Okay, so the handbag basically goes back 5,000 years, believe it or not. It was worn, the first one they found was worn by an iceman. They gave him the name of Atzi.
So it was a merse.
It was a zillion years ago, right. And it was basically a fistful of skins, animal skins, that were tied to a stick. And Atzi carried food and seeds and flint for his fires and all of that type of thing in this first bag. They found actually purses in Egyptian hieroglyphics. And in fact, in the Bible, if you recall this, Judas carried his silver in a purse.
So man purses are actually the foundation
they were
of
the
purses.
Exactly, because women, you know, just were out there, you know, doing leaf garden stuff.
We can never give men a hard time about their satchels.
Exactly. In the 14th century, drawstring bags were tied to girdles at the waist of men. And this is important because pockets had not been invented yet.
Makes
if
sense.
You think about it, I mean, you don't think about these things when you just look at a handbag.
Or you buy a new pair of jeans.
Right. And even back then, handbags became a way of identifying social status. Prestige was measured in conjunction with the adornment of a bag, how it was stitched and everything. So as we talked in previous shows about social status of high-end bags and high-end branded luxury goods, it started way back in the 14th century about how what you carried, that handbag, what it said about you. In the 16th century, the girdle bags became out and concealed bags became in. So if you think about it back then, gentlemen wore kind of ornate skirts, actually. They weren't always in pants. They hadn't really gone that route yet. So they would conceal their bags under their full skirts or, you know, under their cloaks and that type of thing. So now they were hidden. In the 18th century, this is big news. I mean, this was breaking news back then. Pockets were developed. Pockets. So purses typically only were worn by women from that point forward because the men had pockets and the women were in these big voluminous dresses, and the purses they carried during that time were called reticules, and they used fine fabrics, velvet, silk, wrist straps made of, you know, gold chain, and they were very, very fancy. Now, modern purses came about in England during the Industrial Revolution and when there was increased railway travel. In 1841, a businessman, his name was Samuel Parkinson, ordered several handbags for his wife to match her luggage. These were called handheld bags, and that is where the term handbag comes from. So that has been around since the 1840s, and that's when the modern concept of handbags were actually created. In 1896, Louis Vuitton hand-painted their canvas travel handbags with what is now known as the iconic monogram, the LV with the little, you know, fleur-de-lis and that type of thing. In the early 1900s through 1920-ish, clutches were developed, and they were also known as pochettes. So if people wanted their hands free, these were bags that could be put under their arm as they clutched their elbows to their body, and that way they could take their gloves off. They could use their little whip for the horses. It was a big development because they always had been carried either by hand or over the wrist. In the 1930s, shoulder handbags were developed, also the satchel and the clasp bag. And a big development to all of those bags, those types of bags in the 30s, is that zippers had been developed and they were added to the bags so that you could close and seal the bag. So if you were traveling, no one could pickpocket from your handbag. They now had these marvelous things called zippers, and they were added. One of the first uses were to luggage and to handbags.
We take so many of these things for granted.
Honestly, I love the history of this. I think it's really interesting because you never wonder, I wonder how that came about. Well, I love to know how.
Right.
Yeah. In the 1940s, there were bigger, more angular, different material because of the way metal was in short supply. So handbags back then were made of canvas and cloth. It was the war years, and they didn't have that much metal to use. So you got different styles of bags then. And in 1950, which was the post-war economic prosperity period, handbags began to have an icon status. At that point, it was all about coordinating the handbag with the outfit. Now people had money, the warriors were over, the terrible times were in the past, and people wanted to show that bag and show their social status and really make it work and make an outfit. There was a big development back there also. Design houses emerged that were creating handbags. And what I call the trifecta of the Holy Grail, Hermes, Chanel, and Louis Vuitton, those design houses began to produce the most beautiful handbags, where before Chanel was only doing clothing. Hermes was doing saddles and horse-oriented things. Louis Vuitton was doing suitcases and traveling trunks. So those three big companies of luxury goods said, you know what? It's time for us to get into handbags. And that's the beginning of what we see today in terms of those types of luxury goods. In the 1960s, we saw very youth-oriented cultures. You know, dressing rules were disbanded, the summer of love, and people were doing all those kind of cloth little handbags, very flower time. Purses were very ethnic looking and
a very
free look, you know, peace, love, rock and roll. The 1980s and 90s saw mass production, even from the good houses such as Prada, Gucci, Fendi. Hermes, Chanel, and Louis still did everything by hand. But the other big design houses got on the handbag bandwagon and said, you know what, let's start to mass produce these things. The 21st century explosion of styles and sizes and materials and purposes and designers and celebrity status just became outrageous. And I will tell you in the next section how outrageous in terms of dollars.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I know I may have gotten a sneak peek at the dollar sign already, and it is incredibly large.
It's huge. Heart-stopping.
So we're going to tell you more about that in just a minute when we come back with our focus on fashion. And yes, we are going to be talking more about a fan favorite, Hermes. So we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to The Fashion Connection. And don't forget, Classic Collections of Palm Beach is located at 118 North County Road, Palm Beach, Florida. Stop by or give them a call at 561-833-3633. And with Sally Kimball, I'm Dia Ryan, and we'll be right back.
Mercy.
Owner and fashion expert of Classic Collections of Palm Beach, Sally Kimball has created the perfect spot for anyone with the true passion for fashion. Top current trends or something vintage and unique, Palm Beach's premier designer and luxury consignment boutique, Classic Collections, has everything from fine jewelry to Chanel, Hermes, Pucci, Oscar de la Renta, and more. Visit ClassicCollectionsOfPalmBeach.com or come enjoy the couture in person. But get this, you can also enjoy our couture from home thanks to Classic Collections Chic Magazine. On the first of every month, visit ClassicCollectionsConnections.com to see the newest issue of Chic Magazine and subscribe. Find our newest arrivals, special sales, fashion features, lifestyle topics, and all of the things the fashion world has to offer. You'll also find every episode of our radio show, The Fashion Connection, under a section called On the Radio. So now, you don't have to worry about missing an episode live on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches. Don't forget to find us on Facebook as well as Instagram. Be chic, stay chic, and read chic. And don't forget, offering the most beautiful things in the world, the largest luxury resale website has our pieces online too. That's firstdibs.com. 1stdibs.com. Enjoy.
Classic Collections brings you The Fashion Connection on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches. Visit ClassicCollectionsOfPalmBeach.com to find out more about Palm Beach's premier luxury designer and fashion resale boutique.
Pretty woman, walking down. Welcome back to The Fashion Connection. I'm Dia Ryan. With me today, Sally Kimball. You can visit Classic Collections of Palm Beach at 118 North County Road, Palm Beach, Florida. You can give them a call at 561-833-3633, and it is the perfect place to go to do your own consignment shopping, high-end luxury boutique. I mean, they have the most incredible pieces, including some of the pieces that we're talking about today, and today's topic, handbags. So we just got the lowdown, the whole history, which is so interesting because Sally's right, we never think about these things. But now we're going to move on to some more specifics, and one of the bags in that triple crown of bags that you were referring to, Sally. What are we talking about during our focus on fashion?
Okay, well, I want to give you a little bit of a quick briefing on the numbers of dollars that are involved in what I call investment handbags. There's a great quote by Dana Thomas. She's author of the book Deluxe, How Luxury Lost Its Luster. Fabulous book. If you haven't read it and you're a fashionista, you will really, really enjoy this book. She's a financial writer, but this is a fabulous book. And she said, quote, luxury handbags are the engine that drive luxury brands today. And this is true. Handbags are the easiest thing to sell. They don't require sizing, trying on. If you look at it and you like it, you buy it and boom, it's done. It's that simple. The number of dollars is staggering. There are hundreds of billions of dollars spent every year on luxury handbags. There are 120 brands of luxury handbags besides Chanel and Hermes and Louis Vuitton, which we're going to be really delving into. There are 120: Dolce & Gabbana, Prada, Gucci, Pucci, Tiffany, Burberry, Chloe, Fendi, Ferragamo, Valentino, Armani, Dior, Celine, Judith Lieber, Alexander McQueen. You could go on and on and on. And there are 10 major markets where luxury handbags are sold. The United States occupies top position with approximately 48% of the world's luxury handbags being purchased here. The United Kingdom tips in at 11.5%. China's at 10.4%. France is at 9.7%. And then the BRIC markets, which is, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, and you've got Japan and Italy and Germany all coming in with a little bit. But between all of us, we are in United States, United Kingdom, China, and France. That's where these things are basically purchased. And they are purchased regularly by many of the same people, and new, younger people are coming into those brands too because they hold their value. I want to talk today and begin with Hermès because they are, in my opinion, one of the finest handbag makers, manufacturers, designers ever created. They have over 315 stores worldwide, and they do $3.5 billion, United States dollars, of revenue per year.
That's unbelievable.
$3.5 billion, that's B as in Birkin, ladies. That is a lot of money. Let me tell you how they started. In 1798, Terry is how it's pronounced. Terry Hermès was 15 years old. He became an orphan when his family was killed by Napoleon's soldiers during a French skirmish with the Russian army. So there he is, 15, no parents, no money, no house, no anything. He walked to Paris. He settled in Normandy, and he became an apprentice and learned the harness-making trade with somebody who took him in. In 1837, he opened the House of Hermès, making fine leather harnesses, saddles, horse-riding equipment. This is a kid who came from nothing and learned a trade. In 1902, his son started making travel cases of fine leather, and eventually the company began making handbags. They started with three major designs that are still produced today and are still Hermès' biggest sellers. That is the Birkin, the Kelly, and the Constance. These have been around for over three quarters of a century. They still comprise over half of their sales, the House of Hermès sales. And these bags, just FYI, they have no logo. They convey all money and refinement, and they are symbols of wealth and discreet success. In fact, this will blow you away. They are so coveted that the House of Hermès now has restrictions on how many handbags of these three designs a buyer can purchase per year. One person can only buy two bags per year. If you have one Birkin or Kelly, the second bag can be a free choice, but you can only purchase two per year. And when I tell you, they look you straight in the eye and say, gee, we'd love to give you that $150,000 handbag, but oh, Sally, you already bought two this year, so we can't take your sale.
I just have never heard of a company rejecting money.
It's a supply and demand, and they have thousands of people waiting for that bag. And so that is why they restrict the purchases. And I mean, this is a worldwide database. If you buy one in Canada and one in Las Vegas, and you go to Paris, you're not getting that third bag. So it's just interesting to me. In 1981, the head of Hermès at that time, Jean-Louis Dumas, was sitting next to the actress and singer Jane Birkin on a flight from Paris to London. She put her straw bag in the upper compartment. It didn't have a clasp, and the plane kind of wobbled a bit, and all her stuff fell out into the aisle. And she said, "Why can't someone make a good handbag?" This is in 1981. Well, in 1984, I guess Jean-Louis thought this through, and he brought to market a bag they called the Birkin, after Jane Birkin, who made the comment that started this thought process. The Birkin is a very supple leather handbag, beautifully crafted, and it has a clasp that can be locked. It looks today exactly the way it looked in 1984. Every Birkin is handcrafted in France by one artisan. They come in sizes measured in centimeters, so there's a 25, 30, 35, and a 40 centimeter bags. They come in four sizes. Special orders can be had for 50 and 55 Birkins. I have seen one of them, and they are huge, and frankly, they are really, really heavy. But talk about a statement. Now, it takes one artisan 15 to 16 hours to create a small bag, let's say the 25 or 30 Birkin. 25 to 30 hours 35 to a 40 Birkin. All the seams are sewn by hand in the classic saddle stitch with linen thread that's been waxed with beeswax. And this is a process dating back from the 19th century because they just don't break and they age beautifully. They get a patina on them and they're gorgeous. The handles are comprised of 6 pieces of leather and they're shaped on the artisan's thigh. So when you see that curved handbag, that shape came from him putting a piece of leather on his thigh, and basically that is his thigh size is the size your handbag's handle is going to be. It takes 3.5 hours just to make the handle. Birkins have 2 handles, by the way, and Kelly's only have 1. So when you look at a bag and you can't tell whether it's a Kelly or a Birkin because you might not be familiar enough,
now you know.
Birkins have 2. Kelly's have 1, and Kelly's are also sold with a shoulder strap. Birkins are not. Now, the seams are on the inside are called retourné, and they have piping of the same skin of whatever leather the bag has been created of. When it's finished, there's 8 layers of leather to the bag. The flap is sewn on separately. Birkins use calf, crocodile, alligator, ostrich, lizard leathers, as well as gold-colored or palladium-colored plated hardware. Specialty 35 Birkin bags of porous crocodile made with 18-carat true real gold hardware and diamond clasps, they bling up the clasp, are usually sold for between $203,000 and $250,000. U.S. dollars. They're made in every color of the rainbow. And when you order one of these, you can expect not to be delivered for probably close to 2 years.
But oh, my gosh.
You pay for it up front. I just want you to understand that. Okay. The total status symbol of success and power and wealth. Look at Martha Stewart when she learned that she came out of her insider trading trial and she carried a huge Birkin. That was not a smart picture. Martha, you should have known better. Let me tell you a little bit about the Kelly bag. The Kelly was created in 1936, and it became truly popular in 1956 when Grace Kelly, when she was married to the Prince of Monaco, was photographed on the cover of Life magazine, and she was carrying it over her stomach because she was pregnant and the pregnancy had not been released by the royal family yet. So she kind of was hiding her pregnancy. And similar to Birkin, it's got a firmer rectangular shape and it has the single handle. It comes in 2 styles regarding the seams. The seams can be on the outside, which are called cellier, or seams which are on the inside, which are called returner, like the Birkin. The flap is a continuation of the back of the bag, so it's not sewn on separately. Similar to the Birkin, they come in 5 sizes, 28 centimeters, 32, 35, 40, and 50. All skins, colors, seam styles, etc., can be dictated by special orders. For many, many years, there was a long waiting list for both the Birkin and the Kelly bags, up to 6 years. In 2010, they did away with the waiting list, so bags are available to everyone now, although the 2-bag restriction still applies.
Well, clearly they have to.
Well, a lot of the older bags are now being worn by people because bags can be sent back to Hermes. They have what they call the Hermes Spa, and they are reconditioned. And this is for bags that have been gently used. They need to be spiffed up. And the artisans who do this work can tell a knockoff or a counterfeit bag in a heartbeat. So if you have a bag and you're not 1,000,000% sure that it was real wherever you may have gotten it, you can send it to the Hermes Spa and you'll know very, very quickly. Sometimes you might not want to know, but I'm just saying it happens more than you can imagine. Beware of receiving gifts of these bags. It's always good to look for a real receipt or documentation. The other major bag that's been in existence since Hermes began producing the bags is called the Constance bag. It was developed in 1959, and it was brought to fame by the constant wearing of this style by Jackie Onassis. She loved this bag so much that people would go into Hermes stores and ask for the Jackie O bag. They didn't know the name of it, but they wanted the Jackie O bag. They range in price from about $9,000 in leather to approximately $25,000 to $30,000 in alligator, and they are smaller than either the Birkin or the Kelly styles, whether they're 25 or 30 or 35 centimeters. So that's what we've talked about today. Unfortunately, I can't get through all the Louis Vuitton material because it's really interesting how it came to be, and I'd like to discuss that in the next show when I will also discuss Chanel.
I already have memorized all the bags that I need to put on Santa's gift list this
year. Oh my goodness, Santa's going to be busy. But he can't get more than two bags for each
person. That's right. So I guess only one for now. One for now. We'll save that the next one for next year. So that's really incredible. I feel like I have such an abundance of knowledge after sitting here with you over things that I'd never thought about.
Who would think about how a handle of a bag is made?
I know.
Who would even contemplate that it takes, you know, six layers of leather to make a handle.
A handle. It's
exactly.
Incredible, though. So next week, we'll be touching base on the Louis, the Chanel, even evening bags. And, I mean, we can't wait to see you next week, too. But I also want to remind you that if you can't hear the broadcast live or you missed last week's episode, you can always visit Chic Magazine at classiccollectionsconnections.com. The section is titled On the Radio, and you can get all caught up there. And, of course, to do some online shopping and take a look at special pieces from the comfort of your own home, you can visit us at classiccollectionsofpalmbeach.com or go directly to First Dibs to start putting those great pieces in your online shopping cart. Come by the store Monday through Saturday. We're at 118 North County Road in Palm Beach at the corner of Sunset Avenue. Thank you for listening. I'm Dee Ryan. This is Sally Kimball, and we'll see you next week for another episode of The Fashion Connection.
Thank you, Dee. This was fun.
Have a great weekend.
You too.